Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, December 3rd. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, a murder investigation is launched after a stabbing in Chatham proves to be fatal, and a family's received a payout from an electrical company after their house was gutted by fire. But first, let's get straight into our top story today, and we're back to Tunbridge Wells, where water problems have rolled into a fifth day. Thousands of people are now being told to boil water coming out of their taps. The problem started after a batch of chemicals caused a treatment works to stop working on Saturday, affecting 24,000 properties. Half had supplies restored yesterday, but ongoing water quality issues saw taps run dry again. Reporter Ellie Hodgson has been in Tunbridge Wells this morning to see how it's affecting people. She's at a bottled water station at the sports centre.
So I don't know if you can hear behind me, but there's lots of stop and start traffic, and that's because since I've got here just after 10 o'clock, the queue of people waiting to get into the sports centre and get their water has just not stopped. If anything, it's only grown since I got here. People that I've been speaking to on the ground are absolutely fed up. They just want the truth from South East Water, is what I'm hearing. There's pallets everywhere. At the moment, the supply looks like it's not going to run out anytime soon. There's at least a dozen staff members from South East Water on the ground who seem really helpful, and people are really grateful to them. They're loading up all the cars that come, and anybody that comes by foot is handed two lots of bottled water. So that's six big bottles of water in each pack, and there's two packs per household.
Ellie's also spoken to Jane Harris, who is a carer for the elderly.
Could you tell me what it's been like the last 5 days without any water?
I would say from Sunday afternoon, I got my washing stuck in the washing machine. I thought there was water. It's still in the machine now. And as for washing, we just have to do the strip wash here per bottle with my old lady. And as you know, all the elderly people and all that, they're most affected mostly because, you know, they have to shower every day, you know, especially incontinent and all that. So it's very, very difficult for me as a carer to look, you know, to work in this situation. You know, it's really, really, now it's worrying because I thought this morning we're going to have water, but look at me, I'm still coming here. They've been delivering at the dairy there, the water supply, but then it's not enough for the whole, all the people there, because there's lots of people. So it's really, really worrying. As I say, you have to, I've got dishes, haven't washed from yesterday, trying to save. I haven't flushed my toilet. I am just waiting to flush what is necessary. Yeah, so it's really, really affecting the living, really. I don't know what's happening. But hopefully, we're hoping soon they're going to sort the problems. And I understand when the problem is solved, we are not allowed to drink straight away. We have to boil. It's a worrying as well. Like some people, like elderly people, how are they going to remember that? How are they going to remember to boil? So they need someone, some guidance to look after them.
Now, Paul and Richard have also been queuing up to pick up bottles of water this morning.
Saturday, the pressure went. As of Sunday, had no water, came back very sporadically and then gone, so not had any water basically 4 or 5 days now. Can get drinking water, but it's things like the toilet things, you know, can't flush. 6'2", baby wipes aren't good.
Yeah, how does it feel having to see the deadline keep getting pushed back?
It's a joke. It's like, seriously, a company that big should have had a contingency plan in place trying to foresee these things, and obviously it's not done. Guy sitting there in his big home, you know, with his bonus, we're all struggling, you know, there's no contingency here. Okay, you come and get your water. I don't drive, there's many others that don't drive, and they're not exactly convenient.
Did you want to speak about it as well?
Yeah,
Richard,
I'm in Tunbridge Wells as well. Yeah. So my water didn't go off until Sunday, and then it did came back on Monday, so it's not been too bad. But then I got a message this morning from South Eastern saying that you need to boil your water if you're going to drink it. So even if you've got the water back, you need to boil it. And I was a bit I'm quite concerned. I'm I don't want to be drinking the water if it's dodgy. So I've got water, but I've come down to get bottled water because I'm not happy drinking water if there's something wrong with it. And then if you go on Facebook, there's a few people have been saying that they've actually not been well, but I don't know if it's just, you know, social media stuff or what, but yeah, so that's why I've come to get some water.
So do you think the trust has gone with South East Water at the moment?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, and he's completely... Yeah,
I mean every deadline was false, put back. Just come clean. Look, we don't know how long. We're doing our best. This is what we've done. Don't keep making false promises. You know, it's just winding people up.
Yeah, I mean, they keep coming out with different reasons as well, like it was one reason and another, so it's kind of like, and it's also, okay, I don't mind the water being off too much, but I don't want to drink water if there's something wrong with it. Like, that's the, I can deal with anything else, but I mean, if it's going to make you ill, that's really, really, really worrying.
And finally, let's hear from Lib Dem MP for Tunbridge Wells, Mike Martin.
So we're entering day 5 now, and the information at the moment is that South East Water do not know when we are going to resolve this problem. Obviously, as you would imagine, there are inter-agency crisis meetings. You know, I'm speaking with the minister, with Ofwat, with the Select Committee in Parliament. We are trying to pull together a comprehensive picture of what is going on. But ultimately, South East Water are an unaccountable monopoly, and they manage their own comms and crisis management, which means that they can tell us information and we have no way of verifying that it's true. As you said, you know, people are utterly furious in Tunbridge Wells. But yes, of course, there is a wider issue. The government launched the water review led by Mr. Cunliffe, which did speak to a lot of these issues. There is a recurrent issue of lack of investment over time, and that's true. And I think that, you know, to some extent that will be tackled over the next 5 years, largely by piling costs on customers' bills, which is a bitter pill to swallow at the moment when you can't wash yourself. But at the moment, as I say, we are really trying to focus on the crisis here and now. But there is one thing that needs to happen at South East Water, and that is that the CEO needs to resign at the end of this crisis. Because in 2022, we had exactly the same issue. In the 6 days just before Christmas, the water fell over. The crisis management was appalling. The communications made it worse rather than better. And he promised, both publicly and personally to me, that these problems would be sorted out and it wouldn't recur. And exactly the same thing has happened again. So after this crisis, Dave Hinton, CEO of South East Water, needs to resign.
You can keep up to date with all the latest on this story by clicking on the story on the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A man in his 30s is still being questioned by police following the death of a 19-year-old in Chatham. Emergency crews were called to Thorold Road in the early hours of yesterday, and a man was found in a house with stab wounds. He died at the scene. A murder investigation is underway. Reporter Sean McPollen was at the scene when news of the stabbing came through yesterday. He spoke to neighbour Laura Patey.
I've literally just moved here about a week ago. Now I'm thinking, whoa.
What's it like then on your doorstep where you wake up and you see the scene, you see the cordon and the police there?
I was like, my partner was like, where's that road? And I looked it up and I was like, hey, that's only down there. I was like, that's a bit too close to home. Like, we've only lived here a week. I know we keep ourselves to ourselves, but being right on your doorstep, I've got like a 7-year-old little girl, 14-year-old boy, 23-year-old boy. So it's like really scary, to be fair.
Yeah, so what goes through your head when you obviously wake up and you hear about this?
What's happened to the poor person? What's happened to him? You know what I mean? Right, and I didn't hear nothing because I wasn't even at home last night. I'd done a sleeping at work. So I didn't even hear nothing. I just see it on Facebook. And I was like, at first, you know what I mean? What's going on? And I said to him about it and he was like, let's go down there, see what's going on. But yeah, like you say, it's a bit too crazy, a bit too close to home for my liking. Where I come from was completely different. I lived in Lordswood before.
A man who killed his baby daughter in Ramsgate has had his sentence increased. Thomas Holford was jailed for life and told he'll spend a minimum of 16 years behind bars for the murder of Everleigh Stroud. 2 years have now been added to that term following an appeal under the unduly lenient scheme. A Sheppey man who repeatedly subjected a woman to physical and verbal abuse has been sent to prison. Kai Stone punched and headbutted his victim and threatened to cause damage to her car. The 24-year-old from the Broadway in Minster has been locked up for 2 years. A man's admitted to making threats to kill and carrying blades during a disturbance at a housing estate in Faversham. Taylor Daly was detained by armed police in the Davington area on October 31st after the incident at a block of flats in Breeze Meadow. The 25-year-old, who has no fixed address, will be sentenced in January. A man's been banned from Maidstone Town Centre for being persistently disorderly. Robert McCann can't enter the High Street or Mill Street for 2 years after repeated incidents of antisocial behaviour. The 51-year-old, who has no fixed address, had previously been found guilty of offences like breaching bail conditions and being in possession of alcohol. Now, Kent Police have seized a suspected stolen van in Folkestone. The vehicle, thought to have been on cloned plates, was reported to be in Swindon before being stopped by police on Dover Road on November 25th. It was reported missing in 2022 and the driver was unable to provide any ownership documents. This is the moment he was questioned by police on the roadside.
How are you doing?
Good. Stop.
Is it your vehicle, is it?
Not long had it.
Right.
Fine.
The vehicle is flagged up to us as a bit suspicious because it goes down to a completely different area than Folkestone.
Okay.
Are you registered to this vehicle?
But yet.
Sorry?
Haven't got a logbook yet.
Hasn't got a logbook yet?
Not yet.
Just give us 2 minutes.
You've got a driving licence or anything like that?
I haven't got anything with me.
You haven't got anything on you?
What are you up to?
No. Have you got the logbook or any paperwork for the vehicle?
I say I haven't got a logbook yet.
Yeah. Have you got anything for the vehicle, with like purchase or anything like that? Proof of purchase?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll be straight with you.
Yeah.
The vehicle flags out the same number plate in a different area at the same time. So one of them is a legitimate vehicle.
Yep.
You get me?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's why we're chatting to you. That's why I'm talking to you. And that's what I need to clarify. All right. The fact that you can't give me any documentation or say anything about the documentation makes you look like this one's the dodgy one.
Okay.
Is there any reason behind that? We've identified it now. It is stolen. Well, it was stolen in 2022. We need to speak to you about that. And for us to speak to you about that, I need to arrest you, take you to the police station and interview you about where you put it from, all the bits and pieces, right? So at 14:30 hours, you're under arrest. I'm not going to stick handcuffs on you. I'm happy that you're going to be compliant. You didn't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence. If you do not mention one question, something you should lay behind the court. Anything you do say may be given evidence. You understand that?
The 47-year-old man was taken into custody and the investigation is ongoing.
Kent Online News.
A Kent family who feared they'd die when their house caught alight have received a payout from an electrical firm. The blaze broke out at the property in Saltwood near Hythe in 2020 while renovation work was being carried out. David Seacombe and his daughter Bronte were forced to leap to safety from a bedroom balcony. David's described the thick black smoke that started to fill the corridors.
The fire that had developed under the staircase had involved various items that we were storing down there, such as old suitcases, there was a tent, rolls of fabric, and because those items are fairly toxic when they burn, the stench and the black smoke was horrendous beyond all belief. And as I was going up the stairs, I entered into thick black smoke and suddenly had zero visibility, tripped on the staircase and ended up tripping again and running headfirst into a wall. And at that point, Bronte had emerged from her bedroom door with some light behind her and I was able to see her silhouette. And that's how I was able to reach her up after going up the final flight of stairs.
One last question. And this wasn't planned, but it's because you've spoken about it so openly. You spoke about if you hadn't been in the house, or if you hadn't remembered that Bronte was in bed upstairs, your fear is she might not have made it out the house.
There is no question that had I not have been working from home that morning, I think with all certainty, I think Bronte would have died on that morning.
And how do you feel about that? How does that sort of continue to impact?
I think that's something that I have to live with for the rest of my life and feel so grateful for. Although we lost our home, all our contents, we had to have our dog put down, I still maintain we were so lucky that day.
Bronte has also given us her account of what happened on the day.
On that morning, I was asleep in bed still, and I was first alerted to what was going on. Obviously, I didn't know what was going on until I opened my door, but I was first alerted to something happening when I heard my dad absolutely screaming my name, like something I've never, in a way that he's never screamed my way before. In a way that he's never screamed my name before. So I kind of, it made me like jump, obviously I was fast asleep. I instantly like threw myself out of bed, grabbed my phone and like ran around the side of my bed, or ran around my bed to my bedroom door. And then as soon as I opened that door was when I was like, just in absolute shock. It was pitch black. So obviously, yeah, I opened this door to pitch black, smoke, and then obviously my dad grabbed me. And that was the only reason I knew he was there, because obviously I couldn't see anything. But it was very disorientating because I'd obviously just woken up. Obviously not knowing until I opened my door what was actually going on. And I just remember the sheer, panic. And then basically, my dad grabbed me, and that was the only reason I sort of knew he was immediately next to me. And we then obviously made our way with difficulty across the landing. Obviously, we were very, it's pitch black, so we couldn't see, we couldn't breathe because of how toxic the fumes were. And we were just obviously stumbling into things, trying to make our way across the landing. And it felt like a really long time that we were like almost suffocated in that black smoke while we were trying to get to mum and dad's bedroom. And obviously at the time, I thought we were going to die. And obviously dad has said the same since, like we both thought that was it, like we were trapped, we were going to die. So it was absolutely obviously terrifying. And then when we got into, finally we got in, I don't know how long it was probably only about a minute, but it felt like a lot longer. We got into mum and dad's room. Fortunately the door was shut, so when we eventually found the door handle, I think dad opened the door, we then shut the door behind us. So we had almost like a minute, like we were like, we've made it, like we're in sort of safety now, because there was no smoke in mum and dad's bedroom. So we then quickly like got outside onto mum and dad's balcony, and that's when dad kind of came crashing down a bit, because the adrenaline, obviously his adrenaline had kicked in before mine, because he was alerted to the fire much before me, because he was downstairs. So he kind of froze a bit, and I was like, right, we do actually need to get ourselves off this balcony.
Sean Davey Electrical Limited deny responsibility for the fire, but have reached a commercial settlement for £390,000. It's emerged dozens of CCTV cameras in Ashford aren't working, leaving some public areas without any coverage. Sources have revealed 30 cameras monitored by the council have been malfunctioning for months. The local authority has described the claims as scaremongering. It comes as it prepares to relocate monitoring operations to a joint centre with Sitting Board. 8 people have been fined a total of £3,500 for dropping cigarette butts in Medway. They were caught by council enforcement officers over 5 days in April, with the cases sent to Medway Magistrates Court. There are calls for a road near Dover to be gritted in cold weather after a car was written off in a crash. The vehicle had been parked on Adelaide Road in Elvington and was hit by a BMW which slid on ice. Kent County Council say the 20-mile-per-hour road is not part of their primary gritting network, but can be included during extreme weather. Calls from the operators of a holiday park on Sheppey to allow people to stay there all year have been rejected. At the moment, the owners of caravans at Kent Parks off Warden Road in Eastchurch can only spend 10 months at the site. Bosses had asked the local council to change the rules after 400 vulnerable residents remained there during the closed period, leading to some issues when they were asked to leave, but it was turned down over concerns about the impact on local infrastructure.
Kent Online News.
Residents are continuing to push back against plans to demolish a former chemist in Dartford and replace it with 10 flats. The proposals would see a new ground floor chemist on the site in Station Road in Longfield, with flats with private balconies on top. The scheme has been refused by council but is now under appeal. There have been 49 objections. Hundreds of students at the University of Kent are taking part in an event today to inspire the next generation of digital talent. It's called Aspiration Digital and is designed to showcase the career opportunities opportunities on offer to those at the very start of their careers. They'll take part in sessions in AI, personal branding, and have had access to special pop-up podcast studios. Wildlife Bosses in Kent have launched an emergency appeal to help protect one of the county's most precious habitats. Kent Wildlife Trust are aiming to raise £75,000 to help continue the Wildebeen Wilder Woodlands project. The site near Canterbury is home to Britain's first wild bison herd in thousands of years. A Kent paramedic has just qualified as the first female ropes rescue operator instructor in the South East Coast Ambulance Service. Hannah Mitchell-Moore was one of 18 women chosen nationally for special technical rescue training. Hannah says representation is so important and she's hoping to inspire the next generation.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly to football, and Maidstone's Alessia Russo scored a penalty as England won their final game of the year. It finished 2-0 against Ghana at St Mary's. And in cricket, bowler Matt Quinn has signed a new 2-year contract with Kent. That's despite suffering a number of injuries and only making 5 appearances for the county since 2023. The 32-year-old, who was born in New Zealand, will also take on a bowling mentoring role this winter. That's all for us today. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top story direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can find the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.